Good morning, church. I'm supposed to keep this right here, right? Right here. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful ladies, mothers in the room. Thank you, Pastor. Oh my goodness. Since we first have come to Open Bible, Pastor Harris and Sarah have been so kind to us. I mean, really, very kind. We didn't come with little kids. We didn't come with, you know, just us. And they have welcomed us in their hearts. And the leadership here is amazing. They're very kind, very generous, and open. And everyone has been good to us. So thank you. Thank you so much. You are a great church. I also want to thank my family. I love being a mom. I mean, it is my favorite thing on the whole planet. I love being a mother. And I'm so grateful for my kids, my beautiful kids. Most of them are here today. I'm grateful to be a grandmother, too. It's a lot of fun. And I got a brand new one that I'm getting excited about soon. And I have great daughter-in-laws. Thank you, Rachel. I have a great son-in-law, Micah. He is a sweetheart, man. And he can cook. Micah, I mean, he can cook. That's a bonus, right, Isaiah? That's a bonus. Yeah. And Jacob. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I have to thank Jacob because I'm so old school, and Jacob was trying to bring me up to speed with putting this together. So he's like, Mom. And I'm a little rebellious in that, like my old ways. But anyway, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Well, last month, like Pastor said, we're out of the ashes. Was last month. And we're into the miraculous. And I feel like the story I'm about to share with you really is both. It is out of the ashes, and it is into the miraculous. So when he invited me, Pastor asked me if I would like to speak on Mother's Day. My husband, Tim, oh gosh, I forgot something big time. Oh, I gotta rewind. My husband, Tim. Oh my goodness. I've known him for 31 years. We've been through a lot together. He is a great husband and father. And he has never wavered in his faith. He is a rock, and he's a rock star in my life. I saved the best for last, and I cannot forget you. Yeah, there. I want my Mother's Day present now. Yeah. Okay, so back to my message today. I couldn't think of. Tim said to me, say yes. And I was like, no, I don't want to say yes. And he said, no, you need to do this. And I said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to speak on. And I began to just pray. I just call upon the Lord. He's so good. He's so faithful. And really, there's a lot of things running through my heart and my brain over the last 30 plus years. But this being on Mother's Day was a perfect opportunity. I wanted to share about my own mother. So this is my Proverbs 31:28 moment. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. And I bless her. She is with the Lord today. But I bless my mother. Bless your mother while they are with you.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a legacy of faith. That's what I titled it. I struggled with that. I struggle with everything, you guys. Thank you for your generosity and kindness to me. But a legacy of faith. And my husband is a big reader, and just a couple days ago, he said, you got to read this chapter in this John Maxwell that I'm reading. And I said, actually, it was last night. I said, oh, I'm going to use that quote. I read this quote, and John Maxwell writes, a legacy is not something given to you. It is something put in you. And isn't that the truth? It's so true. Let's pray. Can we pray? I need to pray. Oh, Father, I just thank you. You are so awesome and so worthy. You are so good and so faithful. From generation to generation, you are a generational God. I thank you, you've not forgotten us. I ask today, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of those who need to hear this, who need to hear. God, I ask that you would move on this people. I ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hold me up. Give me your grace. May I honor you and honor my mother today. In Jesus' name. Here we go. Okay, today I celebrate my mother. Now, Myrtle was born in 1934. She was born in the Great Depression. It was the Great Depression. She was born, my grandmother was pregnant with her, and she already had four kids. And my mother was a very unwelcome surprise. Later, my mom would tell us that Grandma wanted to have her aborted. I'm not sure what that looked like in that day, but it left a mark of rejection on my mother, for sure. But this scripture, we can be confident. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." And again in Psalms 139:13 through 16, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." I am so grateful for my mother's life. I'm grateful for my life. Now, I never knew my grandmother. She passed away when my mom was just 19 years old. She was the youngest, so therefore she had a duty to take care of her mom who passed of cancer. My mom quit school and just cared for my grandmother. Now, my mom had a girlhood dream. I mean, don't we all start out with a dream? She wanted to sing, and my mother had a great operatic voice. She had a beautiful singing voice, and she even cut a little album record before she met my father. But my father came along, and he was very handsome. He was a handsome Catholic boy. My grandmother was an English teacher, and my grandfather was a professor. Therefore, my dad, of course, was super intelligent, because what else can you be? He used to read the encyclopedia just for entertainment. That was before internet, Google, all the things we got today. He also was a swimmer and a lifeguard, and he served in the Navy. Ephesians 6:2-3, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may have long life on the earth." So today I honor my father and my mother. I did not always honor them. My parents were married in 1957. My father was a salesman. He traveled a lot. And they moved quite often as well. My mom did not know that my dad was an alcoholic. So he was gone. He'd go on traveling sales trips, and he wouldn't return for months at a time. He would come home to make the babies. Yeah. And his addiction was taking over, really, their life. Several times, he would be taken to convents and taken to Catholic hospitals. They would do what they call dry out detox. They'd clean him up and they'd send him back to my mom just in time for her to make another baby. My mother gave birth to 11 children. I know, I know. Is that crazy, right? I know, I heard the groans. The mothers are here, right? Oh, wow. I feel the same way. One of them was stillborn, and one of them was tragically killed when he was 3 years old. My dad was in and out. I have very few memories of him. He was just around for making children. Now, my older siblings attended a Catholic school because he was Catholic and my mom had accepted that religion. I don't think I ever attended a Catholic school. If I did, it was really early on. But one time, when my dad was away on his extended sales trips, and my mother was, yes, Bless me too. My mother was pregnant with number 10, my youngest brother. This is when Myrtle meets Jesus. My mom got born again. Now this is her story. And I just want to say this because she would say this often. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his holy name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. They overcome, Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. My mom would tell us this story often. I know now that it was an overcoming power in her when she would share it with us. This is her story. She went into the bathroom to take her life. She had a couple bottles of prescription pills. Being pregnant and alone, she was scared, she was overwhelmed, and she was at the end of herself. This is when she heard her name being called. She looked around as to no one was there, and she heard a voice say, Myrtle, Myrtle, do not take your life. Put your trust in me. I promise to never leave you nor forsake you. That was a powerful turning point in my mom's life. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promises that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. People reject us, abandon us, hurt us, wound us. Jesus will never leave us. You can count on that. My mom gets invited to this interfaith movement. I remember I was trying to explain that to one of my sons. What is that? It was in the 70s, and it was meeting in a basement of a Catholic church of all places. My mom receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, yes. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this was an amazing taking place in my mom's life. Jesus is just on time. He is never late. This was shortly before my dad would be gone for good. My dad moved away to Arizona when I was very young, and we were left alone. Now, can you imagine the house, the chaos, the poverty of 9 children, no father, with my mother who had never learned to drive. She was not educated and she did not drive. She was very dependent. We were pretty desperate and we needed a miracle, and miracles we did get. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his good purpose. My mother was called, I am called, and you are called. You can put your hope in Jesus. He will never fail you. Now, I remember as a young girl, this was a crazy world, really. I do tell people I grew up in a zoo, but it was Pentecostal zoo, so that was better than the regular zoo. Oh, my goodness. I remember during an angry outburst as I was probably 12, 11, 12, 13. I was just having this moment with my mom, and I shouted at her, why would you keep having babies? Why don't you take birth control? Why? What are you thinking? And I'll never forget what she said to me. My mother's reply was, well, young lady, who should not be here? Should I have stopped with your older brother or perhaps you? That has left a mark on me. I've been, you know, that I take into account as I don't judge, maybe as I, some of us judge. You know, we don't know the story. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And my mother's faith was growing, and really by leaps and bounds at this time. She had the mustard seed faith. I heard that earlier today. Matthew 17:20, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now I'm going to share with you a few miracles. This is by no means the whole picture of my mother's life. These were just these are snapshots of, as a child, viewing God operating. I know he was working through the people of God. Sometimes they were absolutely supernatural, but as a child, this is what I saw. My mother prayed for enough. She prayed for enough food, enough clothes, enough shoes. She prayed for the rent to be paid. She prayed for water and lights. There were many times we'd come home from school over the years where the lights would be turned off and there wouldn't be water. We'd come home to a dark house. And when she would get off the school bus, off the city bus where she would take every day to go to work, she would grab her Bible, which was always set at the table, and she would begin to cry out to the Lord and she would pray. And by the next day coming home, we would have lights, we would have water. At times there was money that would come in the mail. And sometimes just some crazy things would happen. I remember one particular time my mother said the Lord told her to go to the store. And she walked to the store. She filled her cart and someone else paid for it. That's faith, right? Is that crazy? Oh yeah, that's crazy. I also remember her waking up and having money in her Bible one occasion. But I have precious memories of a priest. His name was Father Joe. He would send money every school year for years. He was a part of the interfaith movement, and he sent a check every fall for shoes and school supplies. Is that amazing? That's just, she wasn't a part of the Catholic Church, but he was a spirit-filled priest, and he was an amazing man of God. Now, Christmas was even more amazing growing up. My mother loved Christmas. She was full of joy. I don't understand sometimes. I look at it because my life is nowhere near, has ever been as challenging as hers. But snow meant hardship. Snow meant standing on a bus waiting in the sloppy snow and climbing over big piles of snow. It also meant us not having, you know, getting to school, and we had socks sometimes, and if anyone who's had bags on their shoes, you know, to keep the wet out. But it meant more hardship for our family. But my mother would rejoice at Christmas like no other. She loved to sing. We would sing, and we would string popcorn for the birds. Got to feed the birds. But she made us love Christmas and love winter. I do, the first snow even, some of my kids will do this. I get a phone call and it's left on my message. My mom would sing, "Here Comes Susie Snowflake." And I'm telling you what, that I've never forgot just her joy. Even though it was a difficult time, she didn't complain like, you know, this is going to be hard winter. She just loved, the joy of the Lord was my mother's strength. There was no doubt about that. But at Christmas especially, my brothers, I had four underneath me. I'm a middle child. Explains a lot right now, right? But I'm a middle child, and so I had four underneath me, and I would want to scold them to not, they'd go through the Sears catalog, and they would ask, and my mother would tell, don't scold them. They would ask for things that we could not afford, and I always felt hurt for my mom, because I knew she couldn't get that for them. But it never failed. On Christmas morning, there would be boxes on our front porch with goodies and a present or two for us. And it was always an exciting time, even without what we get to have today. Another thing my mother would do, she would speak to storms. I remember one particular tornado that was barreling down our street. She woke us in the middle of the night. We had a picnic table that we had for our kitchen table. And she huddled us all underneath there. Really, the basement really wasn't a good place to go down to. So we hide under this kitchen table in this particular storm, and the windows and the house began to shake and rattle. And if you've had a very close tornado, you know the sound of that. But she plead the blood of Jesus and tell the storm, go. And we were safe. Of course, we're safe. Psalm 91:14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord did deliver us from many, many things. My mother also walked in this counseling gift. You know, sometimes we can think its status is about your finances. In the kingdom, that's not true. If you walk in authority, you know the word of God, you are praying, woman of God, man of God. No, the world's kingdom is not God's kingdom. My mother understood this. This is an amazing thing. People would come to our home and she would counsel them. We'd wake in the morning and there would be women from the church. They would be praying with her and she'd be helping. Some of them had addictions. Some of them were her prayer partners. They would sing, pray. My mother would also cast out devils. She exercised every area of her faith. You know, she had to. She absolutely had to. She did not have, she didn't rely on what we rely on today. She exercised her faith. I do believe, church, a day is coming where we must return to that. We are going to have to exercise our faith. Mark 16, 17 through 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I've had a personal physical healing as an adult. My mother laid hands on me, and I was miraculously healed. My husband as well has had her lay hands, and he was healed. The only gift I did not see exercised was her picking up serpents or drinking deadly poison. But if you would have seen the food we ate sometimes... I'm not so sure. Pray over your food. As a kid, I thought my mom was crazy. I really did. And I did want a normal life. You know, at that age, you just want a normal life. You don't want to have to pray for what you eat or what you wear. You just want to be normal. But today, I thank God I'm not normal. I thank God I've seen this done before. I thank God, right? But at the age of 11, I believed in miracles and I wanted to know this Jesus because I knew that he was real. So one evening we were invited to an Assembly of God church. We had some people take us and Don and Peggy, I remember this, they were the evangelist speakers. I gave my heart to Jesus and I was baptized in the Spirit and began speaking in tongues. Now this was just a year before I would choose a very different walk for quite some time. I was just 12 years old when I overdosed and I had cardiac arrest in the back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital. I do thank God there was a phone in the house at that time because we did not always have a phone. That was not considered a necessity. It's amazing everybody has a phone, but we did not always have one. I thank God that we had a phone. And then about a year later, I began drinking at 13. I came home and I couldn't walk and I was very, very intoxicated. I just remember my mother sitting at my bedside, rolling me over as I not to vomit, drowned in my own vomit, right? At 15, I left home. At 16, I was pregnant with my firstborn. He's an amazing man of God today, by the way. And he has given me 4 grandchildren. I'm so grateful for his life. Now, during the wandering years, I call that, it was about 9 years, I was broken and I was messed up. I would frequently wake up from demonic dreams. I had dreams where the devil would be chasing me and tried to choke me. These were very bizarre dreams. I would wake up praying in tongues. That's how I would come out of my dreams. Now, I don't have a theology for that. I really don't. All I know was the saving grace of Jesus. It would be a while before I surrendered my life to Jesus, though. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded in that. My mother was praying. Her prayer group was praying. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Mothers, we have a unique opportunity as co-laborers with Christ to pray and keep praying for your children to come fully to Christ. This is not dinner prayer. This is not, bless you, have a good day. I'm telling you, we got a war going on out there. And you're going to have to really give it your all. We're going to have to drag them over the finish line maybe, but you're going to have to get them in a battle. We're in a battle, okay? Proverbs 22:6, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I must be old. I am old now. Now, the Bible has a lot to say on healing. As I was reading some of these stories, it reminded me, you know, these were parents. I won't go through them. You can read these. These are Matthew 5. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, he brings his daughter to Jesus, and he raises her from the dead. And then in Matthew 15, Jesus heals a Gentile woman, a Gentile woman's daughter. She was demon-possessed, and she was delivered. In Matthew 17, Jesus heals an epileptic boy, another father bringing his kid. These are stories, these are examples for us. I just looked at them as people. All the time I've read the scripture, I never really seen them as parents. These are parents. And they were trying to get to Jesus. We have to get to Jesus. Get your kids to Jesus. And today, that is going to be through prayer. It's through prayer. Live your life as an example the best you can and trust the Lord. Matthew 7:7. This is a good one. 7:7, we can remember that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Ask. I ask. I know my mother was asking. Now, my mother and I were not close for obvious reasons for a long time. It would take some healing and me to realize that she was a human being. She was a person. I've said this to my kids before. You know, moms are people too. Do you know that moms are people too? We're just people, right? She was broken. I was broken. We're all on our journey. After I married my husband, and he was a... I met him in Sunday school. He was a Bible thumper, no doubt. I grew in my walk with the Lord. And I had some supernatural healing. God reopened my womb. And I have my beautiful Isaiah today because of that. I became spiritual mother and daughter with my mama. She was a mighty woman of God. And she lived the life. She really walked the walk. Her faith was terrifying and amazing at the same time. Now, a couple years after my mom passed away, my sister-in-law gave me a very special gift. She came to me and she gave me my mom's Bible. One of her Bibles. One of her last Bibles. Probably 25, maybe 30 years old Bible. And one time when I was really struggling with my faith about where my kids or what would happen with my kids, and I was worried about them, I just went thumbing through that. I went and grabbed that old Bible, and I just started thumbing through her Bible. And I found some roses pressed in wax paper. I found an article about my brother's success, one of my brother's success. I found one of my aunt's obituaries. And then I came across this passage in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. I looked right next to this passage and my mother has written, Lord, may I learn from this suffering of my soul with my daughter Maria. She had dated it 5/28 of 92. I was a grown woman. My mother was interceding for me. This was a treasure. This was precious to me. I cannot even tell you how precious. I have a lot of siblings I have not yet seen. That means I've caused a lot of trouble. I'm just saying. But to find your name written as your mom is crying out for you, she was gone. I thought of all the sorrow I had caused her. And I just wept, really. It was a moment God had given that to me. But as I stand here today, sharing my heart with you, I fully embrace the passage in 2 Timothy where Paul is talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. I am persuaded I have my mother's faith. All of my siblings are serving the Lord today. And four of them are with her in heaven. Saints of God, we are living in an hour of great confusion and darkness. The Bible calls it gross darkness. We as mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, we must desperately bring our children to Jesus. Pray for them. Do not give up on them. Matthew 19:14 says, Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. My mother in such difficult circumstances. She didn't drive, she didn't have a phone a lot of times. We would take a bus, a Sunday school bus, to church. I am so grateful for the youth leaders. Oh my gosh, for the church, for the teachers, that give their time. You don't know the path a child will take. But Jesus, I mean, I know I got marked out. I could not run, but I would go through some very hard, hard things. Very hard things. My mom quoted this verse all the time. For me and my whole house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't an option. My mother has left a legacy of faith. She walked through many trials and much heartache. Giving your life to Jesus does not mean a life of ease. If you thought so, you were lied to. Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. My mother found the secret. She would declare to us that she was rich, and that her life was full indeed. She owned nothing of material value. Her two most prized treasures are with me today, her faith and her Bible. Now, 10 years before my mother really passed away, she was trying to leave the earth. She had a supernatural healing. We were called up to the hospital. She was put on life support. And they told us that we all gathered in a room and we began to argue because they were telling us, she needs to, your mom is passing. If you want to take her off life support, what do you want to do? And one of my brothers, God bless Bill, my mom was in his care at the time, and he said, no, no. We were nowhere near prepared to lose our mother. She was our hero. She is my hero. She is a hero. We had a friend who'd been praying and fasting for 35 days, and Tim called him and said, hey, will you come up here? I know it's a little drive, but would you come up here and pray for Maria's mom? This man of God, he came up, and we were all praying, and others were praying, but this man of God walked in her room, and he said, she's not going to die. She's got more time. Well, of course, you know, the doctors look at you like, well, you're all crazy. Yeah, well, you know what? What else do you have, people, right? I mean, really, what else is working? I don't think anything else is working. So my mother, they took off the life support. The next day, my mother began to recover, and the person in the room next to her, who was on terminal ill, walked out of that hospital as well. There was two miracles that night in that hospital. She got 10 more years. It wasn't her time, right? Yeah. Yeah. Don't give up, right? Don't give up. When Jesus says it's time, but if it's not time, you keep praying. And until, I mean, you get heaven to agree with you. You continue until God, he has a final say. But my gosh, he wants to see a little persistence out of us, don't you think? I mean, really? We're like, well, it must not be God's will. Really? Well, I sweated for 5 minutes. It must not be his will. No, you press. I mean, you press, right? You press. It's true. It is true. It is true. Now, when my mom was really passing away, she was going home. She was surrounded with her kids, her grandkids, her great-grandkids, their spouses. We were singing Christmas songs, and she was unresponsive. It was a long journey. It was 12 days. She did not let go. We were all up there reminiscing about our mother. She's a mighty woman of God. She had finished her race. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. She had kept the faith. I pray that I would be able to keep the faith. Some of us think, oh, I'll never fall. Oh, every day, pray that you keep the faith. Right? I've learned many things from my mother's life, but here's just a few. I could tell you 25 or 30. I got three lessons from Myrtle. Take it from Myrtle, don't take it from me. If it bothers you, just say it was Myrtle. Number one, did you know that the devil has a plan for your life? Now, we all know Jeremiah 29:11, for God has a plan to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, right? But did you know the devil has a plan? John 10:10, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Killing, stealing, and destroying is from the pit of hell, right? But life is from the Lord. Number two, my mother never seen herself as a victim. Now, I know this is counter culture right now, right? Because, I mean, I was victimized. I have had abuse, neglect, abandonment, and too many things I won't even mention, honestly. My mother had a lot of things she could have said, I'm a victim. Many of you maybe feel like you're a victim, and I'm not saying you haven't been victimized. There's a lot of bad things that happen to people. But if you believe you're a victim, you will stay there. You will stay there. There is no way out. There's no hope. Okay? And that's pretty harsh, but it's true. She didn't see herself as a victim. Until when she met Christ, she she believed she was victorious. Romans 8:37 calls us more than conquerors. You know, I just had to think about that for a moment. More than a conqueror is to be overwhelmingly victorious. Now, when you look at your life, sometimes you can go, I don't see the victory here. You know, you have to stand in it and stand in it and stand in it until you see it. You will see it. I believe that. She was a giver. Now, we were poor. I mean, my gosh, there's poor and there's poor. We were poor. Our house was condemned. We took showers outside in the summertime when the bathroom was being fixed because there was no floor in the shower. And she just put up a shower curtain outside, you know? I mean, this is... But she thought she was a giver. My mom seen herself as a small farmer in the kingdom of God who had to plant. She would give whatever was given to her, she would give out of it, out of her paycheck, the little small paycheck, out of what was given to her, out of shoes, clothes, food, whatever, she would give it away. Until the day she died, if we gave her a beautiful gift, and she seen someone who would never have a beautiful gift, she would take our gift and she would give it to them. So you did not give anything to your mother, my mother, that you wanted to her to keep it. Because if someone who really needed to be blessed, she would give it to them. It was just amazing, really. And number three, I'm a slow learner. Forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. Oh my gosh. I had religious forgiveness. I married my husband. I was a good Christian then. I married my husband, and I wanted to forgive because you're supposed to forgive. So I did forgive. I forgave my father, my mother, and my abusers in my life. But then there came a time where the Lord was asking me to forgive from the heart. Well, I have forgiven them. That was my, I've forgiven them. No, give it from your heart. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I found out that was the thing. The freeing thing was when I really forgave from my heart, I got freed because he let me go. Right? Can you imagine if the Lord won't let you feel that forgiveness because you haven't really forgiven them? It's painful. I'm not saying going back to your abusers or people that are in a bad situation. I want to make that clear. No one should sit in abuse and stay in a situation that is really harmful to you. But once you get out and you're victorious, you must forgive. You have to forgive. There's no other way. I want to just pray with you today. Thank you for listening to me, you guys. I just want to thank you, you know. When I told my husband, I shared the first night with him, he said, Maria, the story's got to be told. You know, for a long time, I was very ashamed of my testimony. I know when you come into church, that's our power is our testimony. I was so ashamed of my testimony. I didn't share my testimony for many years. I'm only giving you parts because, well, I don't like to talk about my testimony. I like to talk about what Jesus has done. But I don't give any glory to the devil. He's a liar, but he's a thief. Right? But he'll redeem the years. He's faithful. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you come now. I ask that you send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of the people. Oh God, let forgiveness and healing pour out in this room. Let every parent, child be healed. Oh God, heal them. As we look to the greater purpose, that our lives leave a trail of hope, a path where there is light, where hope lives. Jesus, I ask you, quicken now, send a sweet warmth over this room as we honor our precious mothers, brave souls that have sacrificed and prayed for us and do pray for us. We must pick up this responsibility ourselves. God, give us a warrior spirit today. Let every mother and father leave this place knowing that they are standing in the gap for their children, that they must pray and cry out and stand and hold fast. God, I thank you that you are preparing us even now to receive back our children, to receive back those who are lost or broken or needing a Savior. And bring your healing now, I ask, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.